first, go ahead, sister. You said, preacher, you preached it this morning. I did. And you'll think when I start preaching, I'm doing the same thing I did this morning. But just hang on. Stay with me long enough. Amen. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verse number 20. Stand, please, while I read the Word of God. First Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 20. But now in Christ risen from the dead. And I love the way that's put in there after all the ifs have been given and Paul's been emphasizing the fact, and you were here this morning, you heard, we talked about that and saying if there's no resurrection in Christ not risen and so forth. But now is, I can hear the Apostle Paul in my mind now saying, but now is. He's been saying if there, but all of a sudden he comes out, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us here tonight that we may share as God would have us to. And he knows our needs, and you know what you need. I know I need to hear from heaven, need God to help me. You pray God would help all of us tonight. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege that we have. Bow our heads, humble our hearts. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Lord, tonight, as others have stood and said, glad they got saved, thankful for being saved. Lord, surely whether it be on Easter Sunday or some other time, we thank you tonight, God, for saving us. I praise your holy name and give you glory and thanks for all that you have done. Then, Father, I pray that you'd have your way tonight, Lord, in the service. You know the hearts. Then you know all the requests of prayer that's been made throughout the day and those who have special needs, and I pray for them. Ask God you'd touch Brother Smiley. I pray for him. I pray for Mr. Horton you'd help him. I pray, God, for those, Brother Griffith, I ask you to help him. Then, Lord, I pray for our people that's sick and not able to get out. I pray for them. Then we ask you tonight now, Lord, that you touch every heart of every person present, those that know not the Lord Jesus. Maybe some here saved, but their life is not where it ought to be. They realize that fact. I pray tonight the Holy Spirit would make it real to them, the fact that they want to do something about it. And Lord, I ask you tonight, may the power of God work in our hearts. God, do that that nobody else can do. And I pray that you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. And Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus, claim the victory in Jesus, and say thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This morning I tried to bring a message on assurances that the resurrection of Jesus brings. That is, that he is the Savior. It also assures me of my own salvation if you're saved. Then it also assures us of our resurrection. I'm glad, praise God, it's real. But tonight, I want to talk about some resurrections that are sure. Now, some of this will overlap with what I said this morning, but just hang with me till I get finished. And I pray God will speak to our hearts through this and that. I'm thinking about resurrection, but had both these messages on my mind this morning, and somehow I felt God compel me to preach what I did this morning. But tonight, I want to try to share this message with you and pray that God would help us. There are some resurrections that are sure, and I pray that God would help us share that with you tonight and that we'll think about that. Our church ordinances, as we talk about the Lord's Supper, and we just had that last Sunday night. We remember the body that was broken, the blood that was shed. How real that is. I want it to be more than just something that is a mental consent to you. but that it becomes a real heart thing to you that Jesus is mental. He did. We know that mentally. We recognize that fact that he did die. His body was beaten and striped. And Isaiah said his visage was like that you wouldn't even recognize him. You couldn't even tell. We see pictures of Jesus hanging on a cross, a little blood running down, a crown of thorns, a few little stripes of blood. That's not how Jesus really looked. He was beaten to a pulp. He was so massive, bruised and swollen and bleeding, and I can't picture it all, but it's gruesome to think about, but you and I take it so lightly sometimes that his body was broken for us. Took our place and paid that price. That blood that was shed is more than just a trickle, Cain. He bled when they striped his back and plowed his back, if you please. And when they ripped him, I believe even his stomach around with that cat of nine tails, as they did all that to him, and we could go into that. But that be as it may, Jesus did that for us. He paid that for us. May we never get over the fact that he died for us. And when we take communion, we remember that. But in baptism, we remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He not only died for our sins, but thank God he was buried. And then he rose from the dead. I'm glad he rose from the dead. And I am thankful today we can remember the resurrection of a blessed darling Savior, how real that is. Tonight, I want to share some resurrections that are sure, and he's the first one, I'm sure, about he rose from the dead. Amen. Ain't not a question about that. He did raise from the dead. In chapter 15, there's more in it than I'll ever preach in a lifetime, but I certainly in two messages will not exhaust it, so don't worry about that. But I want you to look back at verse number five of 1 Corinthians 15. And talking about Jesus now, talking about his resurrection. He died, buried, rose again. Then verse number five. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's the Apostle Peter, then of 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. 500 brethren, above that number, seen him at one time. He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, that is, some have died. And so he said, most of them are still alive, so go ask them about it. That's what he's saying. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. In other words, he's saying, I didn't see him while he walked on earth after he resurrected. He ascended back to the Father, but said, I was on the way down to Damascus one day, and a bright light from heaven struck me down and said, I saw him. Amen. He saw the Lord Jesus. He heard a voice from heaven saying, and ask him why he was persecuting the church, persecuting him. And he was persecuting Jesus, but the church is a body and Christ is a head. So Jesus asked him why he persecuted him. Now I've got to watch here, I get sidetracked, but I'm trying to tell you that Paul knew that Jesus was alive. Even after he ascended back into heaven, he knew it. He resurrected from the dead. These other songs. Fact is, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now hear me well. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the most documented historical fact that there is. He was resurrected from the dead. And he impacted this world. And the world today tries to ignore him. But even our calendar is dated from him. They tried to date it from the founding of Rome. They tried to date it from the French Revolution. They tried to date it from this, date it from that. And nothing worked except dating it from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it worked, amen. And admit it or not admit it, when Jesus came into this world, died and buried and rose from the dead, it made an impact. And somebody said, why, it'd be easy to start a religion like that. Somebody asked somebody that one time. They said, yes, all you'd have to do is get crucified and raise again the third day. That's all you have to do. And I'd like to put a little bit, add just one, a few little things to that. All you'd have to do is be virgin born, live a sinless life, and then go to the cross of Calvary and take the sins of all the world upon you and die for everybody and then be buried and raised from the dead. You do that, you can start a religion like Christianity. Amen. Nobody else could do that, but Jesus, he did. That bunch of disciples, after he was crucified, and the good men that loved God, no doubt, but they were afraid. You say, I wouldn't have been like that. Oh, you don't know what you'd have done. You may have hid deeper than they hid. And they hid behind closed doors, shut the door, locked the door, and all of that. And then Jesus appeared in the midst and helped them, said, fear not. Amen. Peace. And he came to them and helped them. But listen to me. After they saw Jesus, after they realized he rose from the dead, and after the Holy Ghost came on Pentecost, they bravely went. That same man that cursed and said, I don't know him, stood on the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 souls got saved. I say, amen. It made a difference. Amen. He goes alive. He was alive. And they were afraid before they found out he was alive. As they found out he was alive, they had boldness. And I say, praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. Aren't you glad he lives? Amen. Church, how in the world? How could a church get started if just a few folk, 120 in the upper room praying? And if Christ had been, the body had been stolen, all they had to do was produce a body. That's all. All they had to do to prove he did not raise from the dead. And there's a stir around, no doubt about that. And all they had to do was produce a body, and they could have proved he didn't raise from the dead. They couldn't find the body because the body wasn't there. He was not dead. I say amen, hallelujah, and praise God. Amen. Aren't you glad he lives? It's a historical fact. It's the truth of my own heart. He's alive. He resurrected from the dead. Revelation 1 and 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. And I want to say to you tonight, Jesus Christ lives. He lives. He lives. Does he live in your heart? Does he live in your heart? Well, let me go to the second resurrection that is sure. That's a sure of ourselves, the saved people. Now, as I talk about that, this morning I tried to mention some things about that. But I want you to look in verse number 35 of this chapter. Give you some more scripture out of this chapter concerning that. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? Now, they've been saying, if, then he said, now is Christ raised. Then they start asking the question, well, how is he raised? How is he raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That word quickened if means made alive. You plant a seed, it dies, and it sprouts a sprout out of it, and then begins to grow, and you lie. He said, except it die. And that which was thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may change of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. These are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star different from another star in glory. So also, now I've given them some examples here. Then he comes down and said, and so also, is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. I want to pause there and say, whoop. Amen. Sown dishonor, raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's not saying not a physical resurrection. It is a physical resurrection, but a natural body is a flesh body. He's talking about not this flesh that's sinful and hurts and has pain and no sorrow. He says not that kind of flesh. It's different flesh, different from what we know anything about, a glorified flesh. And coming out, thank God, it's sown in weakness but raised in power. I mean, we deny it, our weakened body. And older I get, the more I realize I have a weak body. And the longer I live, the more I realize the fact that the body's dying day by day. But hallelujah, that's not the end of the story. Paul Harvey'd say, that's not the last page of it. Let's turn over to the next page. That same body's going to come out victorious with a glorified body like Jesus, and we shall see him and be like he is. And that body, thank God, he could appear in a room and not even have a door. Somebody said, what about the roof when the rapture comes? Don't worry about it. We don't need a door. We're just going to go through it. I don't even believe the graves are going to burst open. I believe soul, spirit, body will come out of that resurrected soul, spirit, come with God and join back together. And don't have to have a door. You certainly don't have to bust the grave open. Get out of it. But I believe people standing around the cemetery probably won't know what happened, but those in the grave will know what happened. Jesus comes, trumpet sounds, and dead shall be raised incorrupt, and we shall be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. We'll put on the same kind of body they have, glorified, and meet in the air, clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. These words, that's comforting words. These resurrections are sure. I'm sure that Jesus rose from the dead. I'm sure tonight that I shall too raise from the dead. Amen. If I go through the grave, I'll resurrect. If I happen to be here when, and I'm looking for him to come while I'm here. If I'm on the top side of the soil and Jesus comes, then I'm going to be changed, glorified, and go be a twinkling of an eye quicker than you can think about. I'll never forget years ago. I just announced my call to preach, and I trying to go to school. I was trying to work a full-time job and had a family, trying to pastor a little church. And needless to say, I didn't know which end was going which way. Sometimes I just meet myself coming back. But late one night, I sat down in a rocking chair, and I had my Bible, and I was trying to pray and study, and I fell asleep. I know you two spiritual do that, but I did. I fell asleep, and all of a sudden they come a clap of thunder, and I immediately looked up. I thought that was it. I thought I was going to be gone. I immediately looked up, and then I settled back down. I said, no, this can't be it because it's too slow. Amen. Bible says in a moment, twinkling of an eye, had it been the rapture, I wouldn't have had time to even think about it. Wouldn't have had time to look up. I'd already been gone. Amen. That's how quick it's going to happen. A resurrection is sure, though. And it blessed my heart. I experienced it, stirred my soul, because I was looking for him. I was expecting him to come. We all live in an expectation that he is going to come and resurrect us. Boy, you think about it. Somebody said, well, we know each other. We're not going to be dumber than we are now. Jimmy Cox. Amen. We're going to know each other. I don't know exactly how we're going to look. And we're certainly not going to look any worse than we look now. Amen. I think we'll have some features like we have now because we're going to know each other. And a glorified body, can you imagine that? Meeting Brother Gary in heaven. Brother Gary, I don't know how it's going to be. But we're going to see each other and have fellowship and enjoy that and a body. Never forget anything. Won't forget Brother Jimmy Cox's name. I'll see him in heaven. Say, Brother Jimmy, Brother Jimmy. Amen. And I mean, praise God. It's going to be good. Going to be good in that day. I say praise the Lord. But there's another resurrection I want you to think about with me tonight. And that's a resurrection of the unsaved. The unsaved. You mean, preacher, they're going to resurrect? They are. And I want to deal with this a little bit tonight. And these resurrection of Jesus is sure. This day we remembered him all day. I hope every day we remember him. I hope next Sunday we're talking about resurrection, a resurrected Savior. But listen, there is going to be a resurrection of the unsaved. Not a resurrection of a glorified body, not one that will be one that they will rejoice in, but one that they'll be in. You say, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'd be very concerned about that tonight. Because when Jesus comes, he's coming after saved people. Just saved. Born again, washed in the blood. You know who was safe down in the night of the Passover in Egypt? Who was safe down there? Those under the blood. It wasn't what they was doing inside. Now, they was feasting on roasted lamb, most likely. But they may have been somebody over in the corner pouting about something. Old son may have been in there and not really been right where he needed to be with God. But what really caused the Lord to pass over wasn't because he was good, wasn't because of anything about him. It's because the blood was on the doorpost and on the lintel. Amen. Now, I'm not preaching that we get saved and live any kind of a life and get by with it. If you live any kind of a life and get by with it, you never got saved to start with. If you ever really get saved, you can't live any kind of life and get by with it. God won't let you get by with it. And there's some folks sitting here tonight that really need to get saved and get born in the family of God, and it'll make a difference in your life and change you and birth you in the family of God. You have a new desire when you get in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I can't help but preach that because it's truth. It's true. There's too much of this stuff today. And I believe in Jesus. I hear that all the time. I believe in Jesus. They may drink liquor, cuss, and live like a devil and shack up and all the rest of it and commit adultery and fornication. And they do all that kind of stuff and say, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. It's a funny thing to me. You live like that and say you're saved. But the sad thing is some people don't live like that. Sit in church and they're like Bryn was. And Bryn, I'm going to use you, honey, for a minute. And Bryn was, and she was singing songs, and it looked like God was using her. And that was one of her questions to me. And, Papa, why is it that? I feel like God has you. And she wasn't using saying that in any kind of a bragging way. She was saying with tears in her eyes, how come I don't have peace in my heart? And how come I can't get this thing settled? And it seemed like God used it. I said, honey, remember this. God used a donkey one time to preach to a man. Amen. God used the word of God to speak to hearts and songs. And God can do that just because you may have stood before somebody, or you may have been something before somebody, or you may have done something to help somebody get to the Lord, don't mean that you're saved. Amen. It's an individual, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to meet him personally and let him be your Savior and your Lord. You must repent and trust him and make that step of faith and believe that you're saved to ever be saved. Nobody ever got saved until they got lost. You can't get saved if you never saw yourself lost. I'm glad she reached a point where she saw herself lost and she needed something. You never got it if you never saw yourself lost going to hell without God. But once you ever see yourself like that and realize you're lost without God, realize you're going to hell, and realize that's the truth, then thank God you're a candidate to get saved. And people that say, I can't live it, good. I'm glad you come to that realization, because you can't live it. I can't live it. But thank God Jesus did live it. It's already passed. Victory's already won, and I'm in him. And now, thank God, he helps me day by day. Die to self, live to him. Amen. Are you saved? On this Easter Sunday night, I wonder how many, and I don't want you to respond right now, but I wonder how many could honestly stay like Brother Jeff did. I know I'm saved. How many, like Sister McIntosh and Sister Brynn and others that testified tonight, I'm saved. How many could really say that of a real assurance and know it beyond a shadow of a doubt that if Jesus came tonight, you'd go, or if you'd happen to go through the grave, that'd be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. You really know that? Do you really know that? Good question. I'm talking about resurrection of the dead, of the unsaved. Acts 24:15. Breaking in on that verse says this, and there shall be a resurrection both of the just and of the unjust. Now, not at the same time, but there's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. I want you to turn with me, please, in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10. I want to back up verse 10 because I like to read it. Just reminds me how it's going to wind up. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I say, hallelujah. I'm glad I read about the devil, where he's going to be, but sad thing about it is others that's unsaved going to be there with him. I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. She gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Now notice, death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. There will be a resurrection of the unsaved. They will someday stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment. And they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They will one day do that. I'm glad I've already bowed this side of eternity. I've already confessed Jesus Christ is Lord. I've already accepted him as my Savior and Lord. In that day, they will confess that he's Lord. In that day, they will recognize that he's Lord. But in that day, they cannot be saved. They've already crossed the line. It's too late, too late. What a sad thought, too late. Can't get saved, but they'll be there. You said, well, they're going to be judged for works. Yeah, that has nothing to do about where they're going. They're, some of them have already been in hell. And then those who are going to be taken there into the great white throne judgment and be judged and go to hell, go to the lake of fire. And not because of the works, but works, they'll have to deal with their works. They'll have to thank you for their life. And so will save people at the judgment seat of Christ we talked about. But not to see where you're going. That has to do with punishment and rewards. But notice verse 14. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the resurrection of the unsaved. Resurrection of the saved is we're going to glory, going to be with Jesus, going to live forever, never have a pain or sorrow. The resurrection of the unsaved is they're going to be cast in the lake of fire and burn forever and ever, scream and cry and never get out. What a sad, sad torment. And notice verse that I read back in verse 10 there in your text, the devil forever and forever. But won't you turn one other place with me and I'm going to close. Another resurrection that is possible. I've experienced it already. And if you're unsaved, you can experience it tonight. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to see this. I want to read it to you. And you'll know it's the Bible. Here's another resurrection. It's sure, it's as sure as if you repent and believe and trust in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this can be true for you. And you hath he quickened that is made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Is that not where I was? Is that not where you were? I heard Brother Hazelwood in Sunday school this morning. He talking about where he was before God saved him and about how his life was messed up. And I won't go into what he said about himself, but that's where all of us were. We were dead in sins and trespasses. But he said he quickened us, made us alive. I think that's resurrection, amen. He said, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. If you're unsaved tonight, you're living your life according to the flesh. You're trying to please the flesh, trying to live and trying to find some satisfaction in the flesh. But I want to report to you tonight, you'll never find it in the flesh. Look at verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive. Us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I call that resurrection, amen. Here's a resurrection, sure. I repented, I trusted Jesus. He gave me spiritual life. He resurrected me out of that death. I died in the old Adam. I'm made alive in the new Adam. Second Adam. Last Adam. Whichever Adam you want to call him. There'll not be another Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. You're either in the first Adam, sinful, dead, sins and trespasses. You're in the last Adam alive. Notice what else he said. Verse 7, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not a works, lest any man should boast. He said in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. We that are saved to be trophies of his grace forever and forever. In heaven we'll stand out as trophies of the grace of God. But I'm glad I've experienced that resurrection already. He resurrected me out of the deadness of sin, deadness of the first Adam, and put me in life in the last Adam. That's a resurrection. It happened when I repented, when I believed and trusted in Jesus Christ. I've been resurrected, Brother Jimmy. Hallelujah. Resurrected in him. I'm waiting for the other resurrection going to take care of this old natural body. That sinful nature, that depraved nature, God's already worked on me. I have some old flesh, but God gave me his life inside. There lives within me divine life. Well, God ever makes that so real to you, I've said it many times, you jump out of bed at 3:00, you may jump out of bed before then. When that becomes real to your heart, how dead you were, and Jesus raised you from the dead. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight, God, that it's possible for people to experience a resurrection tonight, right now, by coming to Jesus and allowing him to be their Lord and their Savior. Father, I pray for every unsaved in the house. I ask in Jesus' name that you help them. Father, speak to their heart. Make it real. May the Holy Spirit make it real to their heart how lost they are. May they see by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. May they see with that spiritual eye. May you quicken them so they can see, can understand, want to be saved. Lord, people here tonight that are dying go to hell if they don't get saved. And I pray in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, make it real. Father, touch all of our hearts tonight. Some here saved, but their life is being lived in rebellion against you. I pray they realize that tonight and realize the only life worth living is that lived in the will of God for the glory of God. Help us all tonight to yield ourselves as you'd have us to do. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet, please.